Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I'd ask that you grab your Bible as we go through this study this morning. I want to start off this sermon asking a question. And before I ask the question, I want you to really think about the question before you kind of build that answer in your mind. Because I think it's a question that is very important for us to ask ourselves and to think about and not just answer it right away. In our lives, sometimes we become complacent in life. We become comfortable in life. So the question I want to ask this morning is simply, why are you here? What brought you here this morning? Again, take that moment, think about the question, and don't answer it right away. Because if you were to answer it right away, everyone would look at me and say, well, Jason, duh. We're here to worship and serve God. And that is the right answer. But is that really the answer why everyone is here this morning? If the answer was as simple as, well, I'm coming here this morning on Sunday morning to worship and serve God, then this would have been the shortest sermon ever, and I get to sit down already and I'd be excited. You might be too, I don't know. But the honest answer, even though we strive for that answer to serve and worship God when we come here, sometimes that answer sounds more like the following. Well, I'm here because my parents made me. I'm here because, well, it's Sunday. I feel that I should be here. I'm here because if I don't come, you know what? I'm going to have to hear about it. I'm here because, well, I want to be here. I truly want to be here. But sometimes when I'm here, I'm just struggling to feel like I'm actually here. And I think if we think about those answers, those really can be our honest answers. Maybe they're not the right thing. And I know as we mention these answers, we come to that quick negative perspective, right? We think about, well, that's the wrong attitude. And it is the wrong attitude. It is the wrong attitude to think, well, I'm here because I'm forced. I'm here because I feel guilty. Or I'm here because I know I should be here and I'm just going to go through the motions. But, sadly, these answers can be the honest answer. Again, at the very mention of these answers, we come to that negative viewpoint about the attitude of those mentioning. We think about, how could they answer that way? How could they be thinking that? We all should be coming together just to serve and worship God and be happy, right? But we all go through life. We deal with things differently. We have things going through our life where we feel guilty. We feel like life is hard. We have things that we go through that are just not easy. But how do we change this attitude? How do we understand this is where we should be? And this is what we want to do. And we're excited to come and worship our God. I asked you to open your Bibles. I want to turn to Deuteronomy 6. We're going to be reading Deuteronomy 6 in just a few minutes here. But this morning when we dive into these questions, or this question, and we answer with these thoughts a little bit deeper, I want us to take that negative thought, which it's easy to come through that how negative these are, and I want to flip them, and I want us to consider maybe more of a positive side of it. So if those were your answers, or if this is something you can relate to with those answers, I want us to pay close attention this morning. I want us to look at things from a different viewpoint. The first thing we looked at as an answer to the question was, I'm here because my parents are making me. Have we heard that before? Have we thought that before? Children are probably thinking, maybe, yeah. Maybe some of the older, yeah. Well, I've been there, right? If that is your answer, or if that was going through your mind as an answer, I want to do something here real quick. Children, I want you to look to your right or your left or behind you, in front of you, wherever your parents are. And I want you to say thank you. I want you to say thank you to your parents who brought you this morning? You may feel like, well, they made me come. But thank them. Take that moment to thank your parents because they have a huge responsibility to raise you, to raise their children to know God and be obedient to His word. I'm reminded in Deuteronomy here what we read in the first 9 verses. So I want to take just a moment and listen to the instruction that we hear in the first 9 verses of Deuteronomy 6. So let's read this, Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statute and rules that the Lord your God commands you to teach, commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your sons' sons, by keeping all statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This passage emphasizes, even though we're not going to go into deep of what the kind of background with all this what was going on, but this passage emphasizes the importance of actively teaching our children about God's commandments and His principles. It encourages parents to have an ongoing and intentional conversation with their children about God's word and incorporating it into all aspects of their life. By consistently discussing and applying biblical principles, parents can help their children develop a strong foundation of faith and a deep understanding of God's truth. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, we read a very familiar passage that most of us know. Train up a child in a way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. This verse highlights the importance of teaching and guiding children in the right path. It suggests that the way a child is raised will have a lasting impact on their future. By instilling these godly values and principles from a young age, parents can help shape the child's moral compass and set them on a course towards righteousness. So, if you are here this morning because your parents made you, Listen carefully. You have good parents. You have parents that love you and want to lead you to Christ. So make sure that you are taking the time often to thank them for what they do. Now, parents, take your role seriously and teach them in a way that your children are building their own faith. And not having just the faith that aligns with what you're telling them. Because sometimes those are things that we've just learned generation after generation. And sometimes, and I hate to say this, we tend to fall to be like the Pharisees, that we make traditions. The things that we've known just because that's the way we've done them, we try to make them gospel at times. But we all need to be digging into the Word and understanding the reason behind why we know what we know. Why we believe what we believe. And then we lead our children to have that foundation themselves to search the scriptures, to understand those reasons, and not just because, well, Dad said so. It must be gospel. And we need to train our children in a way to understand that being a Christian can be fun. And it's not just this box-checking situation in our life that, well, we did this, we did that, we should be like this, this is how you act. And we just drive them further and further away. We cannot push our children away. Being a Christian is the better life. It is the life that we should strive for. It's the life that we should want. And we should focus on less on what we can't do versus what God has done for us. And that we want to make God happy and how a Christian life is enjoyable. The next answer to our question this morning was, I'm here because it's Sunday. I feel like I need to be here. And again, we can look at that from the negative aspect, but I'm going to put a little bit different spin on this morning. If this is your answer, you should be very thankful. You should be thankful because your conscience is not seared. You have that feeling that you need to be here. Life is confusing. Life gets us beaten down at life. Sometimes we don't even know what we need to do. We're confused all over with everything that's going on around us. This life is difficult, but for you to have that thought of, I should be here, that's a good feeling. May not be the right attitude, but it's good that you have that feeling because you have a truth pulling at your thought or pulling at your heart, knowing that there is something more to this world and you need help. You need to be somewhere. You need to have God in your life. You are here this morning. Maybe that reason was because you felt like you need to be here because it's Sunday. You are here, but what are you going to do? I'm glad that you're here, but are you going to do something with that? Are you going to do something, or are you just going through the motions? Because you feel that you are here, you need to dive in and find that missing piece. You need to find out what is missing in your life. That yes, you're here, but what do I need to do with that? I would like to turn to Philippians. If you'll turn to the New Testament there and turn to Philippians 3. We're going to be reading Philippians 3, starting in verses 12 through 17. Philippians 3 and verse 12. Paul here says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For those of us who are mature, think this way, and if anyone you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we obtain. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Paul here encourages us to focus on what lies ahead. We need to forget about those things that are in our past or what's holding us back and understand what prize is waiting for us if we are obedient to God's word. And Paul here says, imitate me, not because of who he was or who he thought he might be, but because he imitated Christ. He was focused on what Christ expected. So he said, imitate him. If you're here because you feel that you need to be here, again, I'm glad you're here. And I hope that I can be an encouragement to you to let you know that you made the right decision this morning to be in here. The third honest answer to this question is, if I don't come, well, I'm going to have to hear about it. Have we heard that before? And my response to that is simply, good. Good. That sounds weird, but good. I'm glad that you have people in your life, people in this congregation that love you enough to understand that you might be going through a time of weakness in life and you need that accountability. I know accountability sometimes sounds like a bad word, but that's a good thing. We need each other. Unfortunately, what we see in an interaction like this is negativity on both sides. We have one side that comes across maybe as the church police, and I'm sorry I used it as a reference like that, but I think we all understand what I'm saying there, that those people tend to always be watching, always coming to you when they feel you're doing something that they don't agree with or something they feel is wrong. but they don't have that interaction with you on a daily basis. They don't have that relationship with you. And then you have the other side that is too prideful to accept something and someone coming to you to point out something that you might be doing wrong or something that just is not, does not set well with them. We're too prideful. The reality is we need to fix both sides. The Bible mentions in different ways the importance of going to someone who is living in error. Matthew 18, verse 15 says, if a brother sins against you, go and tell him his faults. That's the direction. Go to them. We're told to go to them. And the whole point is, at the end of that verse, says, go to him and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained a brother. That's the point. We're to continue that relationship, brother to brother, sister to sister. The passage obviously goes further, but the point is, if we miss services, and I'm going to use this as an example, if we miss services and someone reaches out to you to check on you, listen closely. Don't be offended. That's human nature for us, right? To be offended. Someone called me out? Are you serious? Don't be offended. But rather, thank them for being interested in maintaining your spiritual relationship with them and with God. We as a church have a responsibility to each other to build a strong congregation so that all can make it to heaven. Now, again, the flip side of that, for those that may be one that always checks up on a member that misses from time to time, how are you approaching them? Are you approaching them in a way where they automatically shut down? Is this the only time that you talk to them, is when you are watching them and telling them what they did wrong? These questions might be the real answer to the problem. This might be the reason to this answer here, that if I don't come, I'm going to have to hear about it. Let's make sure that we are approaching them with love and not just only pointing out their opportunities. The last answer to our original question, why am I here? I want to be here. I truly want to be here, but I'm struggling to feel like I'm actually here. And what I have to say to that is life is difficult. The Christian walk can be hard. Being part of a church family has its difficulties as well. We all go through struggles. We all go through heartaches. But I'm reminded in James 1 and verse 2, where it tells us to count it all joy when we go through these trials. If this is your answer this morning, then again, I'm going to tell you on a positive side, I'm glad you're here. We have several people here this morning that will surround you and help you through the times of struggle and will help, but the question is, I'm sorry, will you open up enough to let someone in? Maybe you feel embarrassed, or maybe you feel that no one will really care. Let me be clear. We want to understand. We do care, and we're here to help you. If you will turn to Romans, the 12th chapter, I'd like to read a passage from there. This passage in Romans 12 shares with us, or shares that each of us here, as we live a Christian life, and it tells us how we should live, and it also tells us how we should treat one another. So I'd like to read Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9 through 15. It says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with them who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. We need each other. We need each other, and we need to be there to strengthen and edify each other in times of weakness. So if you feel lost, if you feel alone when you're here, talk to someone. Tell someone you trust in this congregation And I know that it will help lift that weight off your shoulders. We have focused our time this morning on why am I here? But let's take a remainder of time and talk, why should we be here? And this morning, we have several people here, several young kids that are going to be heading to camp. So I want you to bear with me as we go through this topic here a little bit as we end this lesson. But I want to, do you know, when you think about these kids going to camp, do you know when they got excited about going to camp? Do you think it was when we signed them up? When we signed them up on the computer and we went through all the different things that they were going to be able to do? Do you think it was when we started packing a week or two ago to all the excitement starting to hit in, right? Oh, it's camp time, right? No. They were excited to go to camp when they left last year. We picked them up and they're already talking about next year. What are we going to do next year? It was that day where they're like, I long to be there. I want to be there with my friends. Yes, there's, obviously we know what camp's like. There's activities, there's fun that has that drawing power as well. But there's friends. There's times where they can grow spiritually and build that strength. They have friends that think the same as them. They have friends that talk like them. They have friends that know what's going on in their life, and they love God just the same as them, something they don't get on a daily basis with school and work, things like that. Now, as a parent, there are two things that I love about camp. The first one, dropping the kids off at camp. That is the first one. And we think, how great is this week going to be? It's going to be quiet. We're going to have so much fun. Can't wait. But you know the second thing I love about camp? Is picking them up on Friday. We thought to ourselves, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be a full week by ourselves. But we can't wait until Friday. We can't wait to go pick them up. And one thing that I enjoy the most about picking the kids up, at least the one here locally that they're going to today, is they have like a, we'll call it a closing ceremony, where everyone's circled around singing praises to God. They're holding each other, they're hugging, they're crying as they're singing, because they know this week's over. That what they longed for that entire year and that week that they waited for, it's over. They sing with such heart. They're hugging and crying over each other, and that raw emotion that they have is something that will bring a tear to everyone's eye. Jesus, in his teaching, used children in many of his examples to show what type of people we should be. And the older that I get, the more I understand why. We obviously have scriptures that tell us that the younger should learn from the older, and there's a lot of wisdom in that, because the older have done and experienced more things or dealt with different things, and they've learned from that over the years. So the younger need to learn from the older. But I feel sometimes those of us that are older, we kind of put ourselves at that pedestal. I've lived life. I know everything. But there's a lot. If we would humble ourselves enough and we'd interact with our children more, we would learn a lot more from them. We also need to understand from our children what they're going through, what they're dealing with. We need to show them that the Christian life isn't always easy, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. So I challenge every one of us here today, before you leave, whether you're the youngest person here, the oldest person here, or you're right in the middle, to interact with someone, go up to someone, tell them hi, give them a hug, ask them how their week was. This may be someone that you've not talked to in weeks or months or maybe even long, sadly, maybe longer. If you're not sure how to do that, or you think it might be awkward, I'm here to tell you there's a few kids here that you can talk to. They'll teach you exactly how to do that. They're the ones that are always going around, giving you a hug, smiling their face. And then some of us that are older will just pass and may say, Hello. That's my challenge for you today. So when we leave here this morning, just like we talked about with camp, right? How the kids interact for camp. We should have that longing for the next time we see each other. Longing for that time where we can sing together. We can pray together. We can come and edify one another. But sadly, we come to worship on Sunday, go through the motions, maybe not even interact with one another other than, again, that passing hello. And think somehow we're doing the right thing and we're going to make it to heaven. This is not the attitude of someone who wants to be here. I'm reminded in Psalms, the psalmist said in chapter 122 and verse 1, that I was happy when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is the attitude that we should have. We should long to be here so we can interact with our brothers and sisters. We can worship our God and study His Word. We can sing songs of praise. We can pray for ourselves. We can pray for each other. We can pray for the growth, the spiritual growth of this church. We get the opportunity to commune with each other as we observe the Lord's death. And when we leave, we should be anxious to find that time to be with each other throughout the week and help each other as we look forward to the next Wednesday Bible study, the next Sunday worship service. I know I'm a few minutes over, but I appreciate your attention. I thank you for listening and going through this with me, and I hope we have a good understanding of why we should be here compared to why we are here. And I'd like to close out this service with a prayer. I've asked Matt Bruce to lead us in that prayer, and then after that we will be dismissed to our classes. So Matt, I'll ask you to come forward.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time we have this morning to be here. We're thankful for the lesson that Brother Jason has brought to us. We ask that you would be with us, help us to examine our hearts and determine that we are seeking you for the right reason, and that is because we love you, because you love us, that you care for us, that you want our attention, you want our hearts, you want us to desire you and love you because you loved us first and you demonstrated that through your Son. And we're thankful for Jesus, for his sacrifice he made on our behalf. We pray that you be with us in our homes, especially those that are raising children, that the parents would seek your word and guidance on how to raise them in this sin-cursed world. May we draw them to your word. May we speak it in our homes, and when we fail to do that, we pray that you would open our minds to see that and that we truly are to raise in the way you desire. We pray that you would be with our children as one, they face temptation in the world, but that they might remember your word, the things that they've learned here in Bible class and in sermons, and use that to be the young Christians that you would want them to be, that when they move out on their own, they can be the people that you want them to be and serve you throughout their lives. We're thankful for this congregation here that continues to thrive in this community. We pray that that will always be the case, that they would faithfully serve you, and many generations of your people would come from this group. We pray that there would always be love and harmony here at Knollwood. We're thankful for this day, and we're thankful for the Bible study we're about to enter into. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.